This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 1st. Coming up, the final part of our DNA Files series on our genes and how our environment can help alter their performance. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Former Governor George Ryan could report to prison in less than a week. The 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago yesterday denied Ryan's request that he be allowed to remain free on bond while the U.S. Supreme Court has a chance to consider his case. He's expected to report to prison next Wednesday. The only chance that Ryan has of staying out of prison is if the Supreme Court extends his bail. U of I law professor Andrew Leopold says there's no realistic chance that that will happen. He says there are numerous legal maneuvers that would have to take place first, and he says that the numbers alone are not in Ryan's favor.
There are thousands and thousands of requests every year, and the court grants no more than 100 or 200 review in more than 100 or 200 cases. And so the chances, statistically, of a case being reviewed by the Supreme Court is low. And so, yeah, that if there's going to be any review by the Supreme Court, there's still a long way to go.
The 73-year-old Ryan has been out on bail since he was convicted in April of 2006 of steering state contracts to friends, using tax dollars to run his campaigns, and covering up driver's license bribery. Ryan's attorneys are still trying to reassign him to a prison in Wisconsin so he can be closer to family. But as of now, he's expected to report to a federal prison camp in Minnesota. A spokeswoman for Governor Rod Blagojevich says an audit of a contractor accused of bilking the state out of more than $2 million has now been turned over to Cook County prosecutors. The governor's office ordered the audit back in January after investigators raided the now-defunct KK Bioscience. The Chicago drug testing firm was suspected of billing the state for screenings that were never performed. The owner of KK Bioscience, Anita Mahajan, was indicted back in May on fraud charges. Blagojevich spokeswoman Abby Ottenhoff says a months-long delay in handing over the audit was because it hadn't been completed. In demanding that audit in a court filing last month, prosecutors said they believed the findings could be used as proof in other crimes. A hearing is set for today. Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn is making a push to let voters recall elected officials. Quinn's announcement comes just days after the Chicago Tribune editorial board said Governor Rod Blagojevich should be recalled from office. Sam Hudzik has more.
Quinn says he's been in favor of adding a recall clause to the state's constitution for 30 years. He says the current turmoil in Springfield presents a good opportunity.
I think the time is right in Illinois, the land of Lincoln that believes in government of the people. We need to put in our constitution a recall amendment that can, I think, get better accountability from all office holders.
And that includes the governor, although Quinn, who would take over if the governor is recalled, wouldn't directly endorse Blagojevich's removal from office. The governor's press office could not be reached for comment, but Blagojevich has expressed support for a recall option in the past. This proposed amendment needs a 3/5 majority from the legislature and voters. Then, an actual recall would require a petition drive and a majority vote in an election. I'm Sam Hudzik.
A University of Illinois researcher says the Federal Reserve's quarter-point rate cut is a positive signal for a whole economy. Yesterday, the Fed lowered a key bank lending rate to 4.5%. Professor of Economics Ann Villamil says the Fed also signaled there won't be another cut in interest rates very soon. She says the modest drop in the Fed funds rate shows that the Fed is trying to battle growing mortgage rates and possible inflation at the same time.
When the Fed lowers interest rates too much, monetary policy becomes loose, and that tends to be associated with long-run inflation. When there's long-run inflation, that leads lenders to actually raise interest rates, and that can lead to slowdowns in the economy.
Villamil says inflation would weaken the dollar even more and drive up the price of oil more. She says it's difficult to judge how the interest rate cut yesterday will affect consumers. She says it's because it'll take several months until mortgage rates and the housing market will react. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit Board will hold a public hearing November 28th on a proposed hike in their tax levy. But as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, the proposal is not as much as their top administrator would like.
Under tax caps, the Champaign-Urbana MTD can raise its property tax levy each year to match the annual increase in the Consumer Price Index up to 5%, plus any increase in property assessments. Managing Director Bill Volk proposed a maximum 7.5% hike in the levy to nearly $5.8 million. But the MTD board voted 5-1 for a 4.9% maximum increase. That's $139,000 less than Volk's proposal. But board member Willard Broom says he thinks the buses will still run.
The spirit of the tax cap legislation is to allow for normal growth in an agency's budget. If you want to go beyond that, you need to have special notifications, etc.
The special notifications include prominent black-bordered newspaper ads, which the tax cap law would require them to run to advertise any proposed tax levy increase of 5% or more. Volk says the Champaign-Urbana MTD can get by with a smaller increase, but that it will hurt the district in the long run. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Builders of mobile homes may soon be required to equip new homes with weather radios to warn people of approaching storms. The U.S. House passed the measure this week. The Illinois Manufactured Housing Association opposes the weather radio mandate. Jody Korincich is a member of the group's board.
Despite what the media says, we are not tornado magnets. And I feel that if you're in a tornado-prone area, whether you're in site-built housing or manufactured homes, if they feel these radios are important enough, they should be protecting everybody, not just singling out one type of housing.
The bill's sponsors say the radios would cost between $30 and $80 a home. The sponsors include Democratic Representative Brad Ellsworth of Indiana. Korincich says the additional expense would make some manufactured homes less affordable. The bill now goes to the U.S. Senate. A similar law is already in place in the state of Indiana. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. A lot of us think of our genes as this sort of immutable force. We're born with our DNA and it never changes. But genes can be turned on or off, or they can be turned up or down so that they work with the intensity of a spotlight or the dimness of a candle. As part of our five-part DNA Files series on genetics, Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness reports on why some scientists think our environment can activate this system and affect our genes.
The fancy term for it is gene-environment interaction.
We know that small changes in the interactions of the proteins and the genes are very, very important.
Dr. Suzanne Konzen is an oncologist and researcher at University of Chicago.
A lot of the systems in your body work through systems like a dimmer switch, and those dimmer switches in turn interact with other dimmer switches, and so there's a feedback. And you can imagine that small changes can have big repercussions.
For scientists like Konzen, environment doesn't just mean the industrial plant that dumps chemicals in your water or the congested highway next door that has you breathing exhaust all day. She works with Sarah Gellert at the university's Center for Interdisciplinary Health Disparities Research. Sarah Gellert.
I don't think people really do have a good idea of how social circumstances, just the quality of your neighborhood, things that are less amorphous, impact health.
That's a puzzle that researchers at the University of Chicago are trying to solve. They know African American women in Chicago are 68% more likely to die of breast cancer than white women. Gellert and Konzen want to find out if a woman's living conditions can affect her genes. Do crime, isolation, and stress have anything to do with why young African American women disproportionately get a nasty form of breast cancer?
We really haven't grasped the significance of just that almost baseline violence, that baseline stress that goes on every day.
To find out, researchers are studying African American women with breast cancer in 15 neighborhoods on the South Side. They're analyzing the women's DNA and also their living conditions, including crime stats from their neighborhoods. Lori Booker lives in one of these neighborhoods. She joined the study after she found a lump in her breast. Her apartment's about 3 miles south of the university, but that's a world away. She points to a house that's kitty corner from her apartment.
You can tell the crack walk. I don't know what that stuff does to them, but it makes them walk real fast and they're thin. And they'll come over there, get whatever they got to get, and leave right out.
She's found gun casings behind her building. Sometimes there are fights, so she tries not to go outside at night. Some scientists think crime and isolation and the stress they cause are taking a toll on the health of Booker and women like her. Nearly one-fifth of the women in the U of C study live alone. 22% of them are clinically depressed. Booker says she struggles with depression.
I feel like a basket case sometimes. I think about, you always hear people on TV and they sound so positive and so forth. And I'm like, are they lying or do they really feel like me?
Booker wonders if her health would be better if she lived in a different neighborhood, felt less isolated, and had less stress at work.
Well, if my life was different, instead of being single, 34, a cat, mostly by myself, days on end, and just talking to people over the telephone, how would it have been different? Could I have avoided breast cancer?
It's really too early to tell what, if any, role these social conditions play in human breast cancer. But let's go to the lab to see what happens when mice and rats live alone.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go into the mouse room.
Here in this sterile white laboratory at U of C, there are cages of white mice that are genetically identical. Dr. Suzanne Konzen is trying to create conditions that lead to isolation and a sense of vigilance. So some of her mice grow up in groups. Others live completely alone. And then she exposes them to stress to see what happens to gene expression and their tumors.
If you'd like, we can go in and see the testing area.
She picks up a demonstration mouse that lives in a group and releases it into a box. It immediately starts exploring. The isolated mice?
They often stay there for 3 to 5 minutes without moving out, and you'll see them sort of peering outside of their bowl.
What's intriguing is the isolated mice have a higher level of stress hormone after the experiments. And Konzen says this stress hormone latches onto its receptors inside the breast cancer cells and appears to help these cells survive so the tumors can keep growing. Now that's mice. It's unclear what this means for humans. But we do know that some people handle stress better than others. And researcher Ava Radai wants to find out why.
Stressful events are all around us, and that's just going to increase. So we need to know how we can control it.
Radai is a psychiatry professor at Northwestern University who studies rats. She wants to know if it's how we cope with stress that changes our genes. You just scooped a little brown object out of a tube. What is this?
Well, that is the rat brain.
Before Radai dissects the rats, she puts the live ones into a box with a device that administers a small shock. When normal rats get a shock, they bury the device in bedding. But the depressed or passive rats, they stand in a corner or even go back for another shock.
It almost makes me think of like a pessimist, a depressed pessimist who is expecting that everything's going to be bad and so just doesn't feel it necessarily or doesn't expect it will change.
Exactly. And that is exactly what we think is happening.
There are people who, when under stress, act very much like these rats. And studies have shown they have an increased risk for getting conditions like hypertension. Radai hopes that eventually there will be a genetic test to predict for depression and this way of dealing with stress. And if you could reach these people early on, you could help them avoid falling into these behavior patterns. And that would be a good thing, right?
If you could, you would have people all living lives like some version of Club Med, I suspect, right?
Lori Zoloth, a bioethicist at Northwestern, says that might not be as good as it sounds.
We used to think of the soul as ourself, but now we think, boy, of that DNA double helix as our sort of the essential self. And when you think about altering that in some way, it's a little bit like the Faustian notion of you could make this deal, but you would lose the essence of your being.
Zoloth raises another ethical issue that's a little more down to earth and no easier to solve. If scientists do find that our living conditions alter our DNA and make us sick, what obligation do we have to fix our neighborhoods? I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
We take a turn now for the slightly cooler, with the possibility of frost over the next couple of nights in Champaign-Urbana and across other parts of the two-state area. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says today will be sunny, with highs from 53 in far northern Illinois to 63 in far southern Illinois, Champaign County's high 57. For tonight, clear with widespread frost, lows from 28 in some rural locations to 35 in city centers. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, and highs from 56 in northeast Indiana to 64 in west central and southwest Illinois, around 60 in Champaign-Urbana, with a south-to-southwest wind at 6 to 12 miles an hour. Clear with frost forming again tomorrow night, the low 33, sunny and 56 on Saturday, 62 with more breezy conditions on Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.